This is the Recency Bias. It's your morning after mini pod, though, let's be frank. It's your mid-afternoon mini pod. Mid-afternoon after mini pod. To get that straight, on this Sunday afternoon in December, I don't know about where you are out there in Hams World, but in downtown Toronto, a lovely sunny December day, which has been a rarity in these parts. It's been a pretty gray November, December, but here we are, Beauty Sunday, and perhaps made a little bit nicer by the fact that your Montreal Canadiens, for the third time in as many games and frankly in as many weeks, have beaten the Ottawa Senators 5-2, and it's got me feeling good. It does. I enjoy, as much as the Ottawa Senators are in a pathetic place right now. Well, not right now. Ottawa's always a pathetic place, but you know what I mean. For the franchise, things aren't going well. I probably should not take as much delight in beating up on the sad Ottawa Senators as I do, but I do. I don't like that team. I don't like their fans. And beating them 5-2, three consecutive times, even in these trying times for the organization when I almost have pity for them, it's pretty fun. And it was especially fun on Saturday night at the Bell Center when things got controversial. And of course they would. It's the Ottawa Senators. There was bound to be one game this season in which things were a little fiery, and I had my doubts about the Canadiens' ability to take this one home, but they did it, man. They did it. Awesome 5-2 win over the Sens. Let's get into it. Your goal scorers on Saturday night at the Bell Center: Pekka with his second in as many games, his third on the season. Kotkaniemi gets his fourth of the year. The kid with his first in 16 games. So it's been a minute for old Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Not that any of us are all too concerned about the kid, but it was nice to see him get one against the Sen. Shea Weber, El Capitan, gets his fourth of the year. Paul Byron goes out and gets his seventh of the season. And Jonathan Drouin, an empty netter, but a pretty one all the same, his 11th on the season. Those are your goal scorers in a game in which Montreal Canadiens outshot the Ottawa Senators 47-18. So perhaps it should have never been close. Carey Price makes 16 of 18 saves. Should have been 17 for 18, in my opinion. The Habs probably should have won this thing like 6-1, if we're being honest. Canadiens did score first in this one. Pekka, who was in close. Back-to-back games, as I mentioned. Back-to-back solid shifts to start this game. The fourth line started this one for the Canadiens. Deservedly so. I don't put too much on who starts. This isn't, I mean, even if this was the NBA, I think probably too much gets put on who starts in the NBA. But, you know, I listen to a hockey podcast for my opinions about NBA stuff. You are listening, I guess, for my opinions about hockey stuff. And sometimes I feel like the starting lineup is like too much attention is paid to it, and I like the way it's been used by Claude Julien in this one. The fourth line, which was a major issue for the Canadiens through the first bit of the season, has been pretty solid as of late. Has contributed, has found the back of the net, has found ways to not be a negative, and rewarded with a start against the Ottawa Senators, and why not? They're a shite team. Pekka gets a great first shift in, doesn't get anything to show for it, but his second shift of the night, he does find the back of the net, his third of the year, as I say. However, the Ottawa Senators respond immediately, and Price goes down in pain. We've all felt this before. It felt like a wave back to the Eastern Conference Finals against the New York Rangers. Price comes up favoring his knee, and I don't know about you at home, but it looked pretty clear to me that Tkachuk jammed his stick into Price's ankle. And that's what took him down, and that's what made for the goal. And I think it should have been called back. But here, at least we know this much about John C. Reilly's lookalike. He's certainly an Ottawa Senator. That dirty little move on Carey Price, that's a Sens move. So he's been solidified as a Sen, at the very least. Bob Cole, of course, calling the night for Hockey Night in Canada. Amazing moment where he... It's very obvious that the referees have decided the goal's going to stand. That has been clearly motion for, has been clearly spoken by the referee. And yet Bob Cole, for a second there, thinks it's not going to stand. Everything is happening, I guess, for a minute. But it stands. It shouldn't have. But let's not waste too much time on this mini-pod getting into what does and doesn't count in the NHL as far as goalie interference goes. This is probably biased, but hey, look at the title of this podcast. I don't feel Carey Price ever gets one. That's unfair. It's very rare that Carey Price ever gets one of these. I don't know. Isn't he supposed to be, you know, struggles aside, he's still one of the preeminent goalies in the NHL, and he just, I guess I'm probably looking through bleu, blanc, et rouge glasses at these scenarios. Maybe every fan base feels this way, but goddamn, man, I don't know how one of the elite, at least still considered elite, goalies in the NHL like Carey Price can get a rookie to jam his stick in his skates like that, possibly, potentially, let's go with injure him, and the goal stands. I don't understand. It's pretty obvious to me that that was some sort of goalie interference. What, Carey Price just goes down like that naturally? Come on. Anyway, that's not the least of the controversy we're going to have in this one. At all. But we're tied 1-1. Montreal Canadiens finish off that first frame with yet another trash power play. What a terrible power play these Habs have. I wish we could be getting, you know, you don't want to rely on your power play, obviously. We've seen that in years past with the Canadiens, where the power play is what buoys this team. But you also don't want your power play to be so pathetic that you almost feel it's a momentum killer, which it is for the Habs now. It absolutely is. I know momentum, yeah, it's not a thing, but it is a thing. It's absolutely a thing. To feel that you're connecting well and playing well. And the Canadiens' power play just undermines whatever it is they've managed to accomplish in most of these games up to the point that they get a power play. And that seemed to be the case as they finish off the first period. Just terrible. Terrible power play. Ineffective. Make the joke again. I wish we had the NFL rule we could decline. But I mean it's incredible what this power play does to this team right now. But they do bounce back. They have a very successful first half of the second period. Well, technically, a very successful first half of the second period against the Sens. 8 minutes into that frame, they're out shooting the Ottawa Senators 8-0. They've got nothing to show for it. They're up 20-8 in shots through the game at that point. So, of course, there's an absolute shite giveaway by Ben Nielsen below the coverage. Ottawa scores on their first shot of the entire period. Suddenly, the Sens are up 2-1, and you're looking at the Tkachuk goal. The Tkachuk trip. That's what I'm calling it. You're looking at the blown power plays. You're looking at the out-shooting them, and yet one comes back, and Ottawa's up, and none of this is adding up well for the Canadiens. They finish that period with a 4-on-1 opportunity that they don't even get a shot off. I leave the first 40 minutes of this game for a Christmas party, and I'm thinking, the Habs aren't going to win this one. They simply are not going to win this one. This is one of those ones, particularly against the Ottawa Senators, that is going to get away from you. Bad luck, bullshit reffing, and the Ottawa Senators-ness of the whole thing. I don't feel good. Come back to watch the third post-party. A lot of cheese in my belly. And things aren't exactly positive immediately for the Canadiens. First off, you get the long shot from Kotkaniemi that goes through the legs of Bobby Ryan, hits the post square, bounces off McKinnon in. That's good stuff. We're all happy about that. You can call it an easy goal, a soft goal, whatever you want. It still counts, and we're even at 2. Canadiens feeling a little bit good, especially with the kid getting one, say, his first in 16 games. But then this game goes off the rails. This is insanity. I was livid. I'm sure you were livid if you were watching it at home. I'm sure Habs fans around the world upset. Because even Gary Galley's on side of the Canadiens at this point, the CBC announcer. I'm going to swear here. I know I'll drop the occasional foul language on this one, more so on the Montreal bias, but that was fucked. That was completely fucked. Lekkonen, shorthanded, gets a shot off being tripped, And he's called for fucking embellishment. On what was... There's clearly no embellishment. Clearly no embellishment. Even if there was a little bit of a dive, he's fucking still getting his shot off. So he wasn't trying to sell the goddamn thing. It goes in. Canadians should be up 3-2. But no. The refs decide we're going to call the penalty on the Ottawa player, but we're also going to call it on Lehkonen. Poor fucking Lehkonen, who can't, you know, he's got a few goals as of late. But he's been struggling to buy one this season. Should have gave the Canadians a 3-2 advantage. It doesn't. It instead pretty much neutralizes everything and puts Ottawa back on the power play. Thank God they don't score on the thing. The Bell Center is upset. I'm talking Drake level upset. There's booing for 5+ straight minutes. It was incredible to watch. I mean, it was fun in its own way. If frustration can be fun. 5 straight minutes of consistent booing from the Bell Center faithful was great. They expressed that they were not happy with this. I mean, you got Bob Cole, who's 103 years old, been broadcasting hockey games since 1902, and he's out there saying he's never seen anything like this. I'm only 34 years old. I've been watching hockey for a couple decades now. I've absolutely never seen anything like that. Ridiculous. And at this point, you pair that up with what happened earlier in the game between Price and Tkachuk, and I'm absolutely convinced the Canadians are going to lose this thing, and I'm going to be livid when it's over. But Canadians did not go gentle into that good night. For once, they used the anger in the Bell Center to really buoy them. Shea Weber, who really wanted one. It's not actually a power play goal because the power play had expired, but it was certainly carrying the power play momentum forward. He scores one. He's pumped. You don't see a lot of emotion out of Shea Weber. There's a reason we call him the Man Mountain, and it isn't just his side. But this season, there's been more emotion from Shea Weber, and I'm positive that has something to do with the fact that he was almost a year away from hockey. But Shea Weber's really kind of become our own this season. Am I wrong in that? In the last, well, 8 games that Shea Weber's played as the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, he feels like a have now. And I'm not sure that was necessarily the case the first 2 seasons of Shea Weber. Now he's certainly ours. He's certainly our guy. And that was a huge goal. And I don't know, maybe this was my post-eggnog and some terrific holiday punch enthusiasm. So I wasn't reading the situation right, but I thought that goal horn went a little bit longer than usual at the Bell Center. It had like Ottawa Senators goal horn length to it. Like they were really rubbing it in. Anyways, that turned everything around. Canadians up 3-2. They would carry that momentum the rest of the way. Ottawa would punch back a little bit. Paul Byron is the one who gets the 4-2 goal. One that he would, I would say, escorts the puck into the net. Just it wasn't a shot. It was just kind of the puck is there on his stick. He sees nothing but wide open net, and he just kind of like helps it along. It would be almost an illegal putt if it was golf. Just kind of ushers its way into the net. Montreal up 4-2. Drouin adds the empty netter, his 11th on the season. And it was a nice empty net goal. I mean, Petrie, the last game, got his empty netter. It was kind of a chuckle. It found its way in. Drew's was a really nice setup. They found Ottawa pulling the goalie kind of at an inopportune time, pulling McKenna. And a nice tap it in. Habs up 5-2. And that's how this thing ends. The Canadians beaten up on the Ottawa Senators 5-2 for this, I say, the third time in as many games. And I just felt pretty good about it. Hope you're feeling good about it. Canadians put themselves in a better playoff position with the win. But I think more than anything, just gave their fans a really nice, kind of a nice night. A nice Saturday night, beating the Sens on what felt like one that was going to leave us angry. All's well that ends well. Be nice to beat up on the Sens a whole bunch more this season, since it seems to be something the Canadians are quite capable of doing this year. But I got some bad news for you. That's it. That's it for the Ottawa Senators this year. Which, I mean, is that bad news? Or is beating them 5-2 3 consecutive times pretty good? Just looking through the schedule here to make sure I'm not making a mistake. Not that I Haven't done that before on this podcast, but no, I can confirm. The Canadians will not play the Ottawa Senators again this season, which makes sense since we've seen so much of them lately. So there it is. We've laid them out. We've embarrassed them. And even in a season where you almost feel bad for beating up on the Sens, you can't. That's it. Habs bully the Sens all season long. They're in a bad spot. You take advantage. There's a tweet from Eric Engels of Sportsnet that I thought was really interesting. Basically, he just pulled up McKenna's page on HockeyDB, I want to say, looking at the journey. And these things I always find quite interesting, some of these journeys from these journeymen. McKenna, 35 years old, so, you know, a guy I can... I have some simpatico. We were essentially the same age. And just looking at his journey through the, you know, to this point where he started, I think, 6 games now for the Sens this year. Listen to this. Since 06-07, when he was playing with the Omaha Oxar Ben Knights, I don't even know what the hell that means. Listen to the places our 35-year-old Mike McKenna, who is the starting goalie for the Sens in this one, has been on. You got to tip your hat to somebody who's just stuck with it this long, even if the Canadians kind of beat up on him Saturday night. Omaha, 06-07. 07-08, Portland Pirates. He plays 41 games for them. 08-09, he plays for the Norfolk Admirals and gets 15 games in with the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's 09-10, he's playing with the Lowell Devils. Then he's playing with the Albany Devils. Then he's with the New Jersey Devils for a couple games. Then he's with the Binghamton Senators. 12-13, the Peoria Rivermen. Springfield Falcons. Columbus Blue Jackets. Portland Pirates in the AHL. The Arizona Coyotes he gets one game with. Then he's back with the Pirates in Portland. Then he's off to Springfield with the Thunderbirds. Syracuse Crunch he plays some games for. Texas Stars. This is all between 2015 and 2018. All these teams. Then it's a couple games with the Dallas Stars. Then it's the Belleville Senators before finally finding his way to the Ottawa Senators this season. I mean, that's a grind, man. You gotta just respect these guys like Mike McKenna, who have stuck with it, who've obviously been moved all over the place, you know, between the age of 19 and 35 years old, when so many people, essentially everybody's kind of settling down and finding their lives and getting married and having kids, and just he's out there grinding, looking for his... 35 years old, you're not going to get your chance. You're not most likely going to break through as an NHL goalie. You're well past all primes, but here he is getting some opportunity. He's stuck with it. He's chasing the dream, and you got to respect that. That's tough from these guys. That's so much moving. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you bow out, or how rather you don't bow out at some point when you find yourself moving from Portland to Binghamton to Syracuse on the AHL buses. This isn't NHL bouncing around. This is AHL bouncing around. The hotel rooms are worse. The buses are worse. Everything's worse. So you got to respect it. You also got to beat them 5-2 when you get the opportunity. As I said, the Canadians, with that win, put themselves in a nice spot to leapfrog the Boston Bruins. Let's take a look at just where the Canadians are in the standings. I think we're far enough in the season to respectably keep an eye on this on a night-to-night basis. Now, the Habs, as I say, leapfrogging the Boston Bruins, though the Bruins do have a game in hand. The two of them both own those two wildcard spots, with about 4 points to spare for the Bruins, 5 points to spare for the Canadians, ahead of the New York Islanders, who dropped out of the race on Saturday night as Pittsburgh Penguins passed them, so much like we talked about on the last pod. Not going to be shocked if these are your 8 playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. I got to say, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Buffalo, occupying those 3 spots atop the Atlantic Division. Meanwhile, atop the Met, you got Washington at 43, Columbus 37, and Pittsburgh at 36 as they leapfrog over the Islanders. And that's going to be it, I think. There's a good chance that that's what we're looking at come April. Boston, Montreal, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Washington, Buffalo, Toronto, Tampa, in some order. Canadians right there. We're going to be in this thing and till the end of the season, I think, in the mix. You know, all bets are off if Carey Price gets injured or something else of significance happens, but as it stands right now, it looks like this team's going to be in the fight for that wildcard spot the rest of the way. So now the question really becomes, and I know we've been kind of already offering this out there between the big pod and this one, what are the Canadians to do from here on out? Do they try and acquire? Are they selling? Are they buying? It's probably just hold the fort. It's the real answer. But it gets interesting as we step into the new year. course, Canadians will finish out the month of December with those Florida games, as we've all come to know and love. A big week before we get to Florida, though, for the Habs. It will be the Boston Bruins, that team that just fell behind them in the standings. They'll have that game in hand, as I mentioned, 7:30 Monday night at the Bell Center. I will be missing the first bit of this and recording it because, not to brag, but my floor hockey team is in the championship game. So, big things for old Zach Vinas on Monday night. And then it's back-to-back midweek on the road. That's tough. The Canadians got a tough haul headed up after that Boston game. And, you know, I think we can include a home game against Boston is tough. Back-to-back on the road in different time zones. 8:30 Wednesday, Colorado Avalanche, who are a very good team this year. Alex Galchenyuk and the Arizona Coyotes at 9 o'clock on Thursday night on Christmas Eve, the 22nd. 4 o'clock afternoon game in the desert against the Vegas Golden Knights. And then, of course, from the 23rd to the 27th, the Canadiens inactive. Back on it with the back-to-back games against the Panthers and Lightning on the 28th and 29th. And then New Year's Eve, they'll be in Big D, Dallas, to take on the Dallas Stars. So that's a significant 6-game road trip coming up to end the 2018 portion of the 2018-2019 schedule for your Montreal Canadiens. In the thick of things in the playoffs, in the thick of things with the Boston Bruins, the Ottawa Senators beat up and left in their rearview mirror. Here we go. It's takeoff time. January, February, March. It's all real valuable hockey. You can't say you didn't take anything from the games that are still to come from the Canadiens. So we'll be watching closely, of course. The recency bias returning as frequently as possible. I'm not sure what we'll be doing over the break, especially with all those back-to-backers, but we'll still be delivering pretty consistent content. I'm sure there'll be an episode of the Big Pod somewhere between here and the All-Star break. Follow me on Twitter, at Zach Trump's Tweets, at the Montreal Bias for the podcast, at Rabbit Habs for the website. If you missed it on the forum this week, myself and a couple of the kids from the Nosebleeds podcast, Kristen and Ian, talking about what to do with Chud. Check that out, rabbithabs.com, if you haven't seen it yet. Until after Boston, on Tuesday morning, a big one, hopefully a fun one, between the Habs and Bruins. Oh, I was about to say take care, but I forgot we haven't checked on the... We didn't even check on last night's action. What else happened around the league on Saturday night? Minnesota. They fall to Calgary 2-1. Overtime between Florida and Toronto. The Panthers beat the Maple Leafs. That feels nice. Lowly Panthers going out and beating the Leafs. New York Islanders edge Detroit in a shootout 4-3. Overtime between Los Angeles and Pittsburgh. That win for Pittsburgh in OT was what allowed them to jump over the Islanders into that current spot in the Met. Washington edges Buffalo 4-3 in a shootout. Anaheim winning in overtime over Columbus, 2-1. A lot of extra time last night in the NHL. Nashville beats New Jersey, 2-1. Also a shootout. Big score between Colorado and Dallas, 6-4. The final in that one. The Avalanche winning that. And Vancouver all over Philadelphia, 5-1. That's all your action from Saturday in the NHL. Now I can say, take care.